Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. We have David Sterrett and the Academy Award nominations.
Well, it's that time of year again to talk about the Academy Award nominations, and I have to begin with my ritual disclaimer, which I give every time we talk about this. I don't believe in the Academy Awards. I think they're silly. They're basically a popularity contest within Hollywood, and they really don't very often give the awards to the people I think that ought to get the awards. But hey, they're a huge tradition, and getting an Academy Award does indicate some respect within the industry. So, and of course, the public pays a lot of attention, so I try to pay at least a little bit of attention too. And now is the time to do that for the awards for the best achievements of 2022. And let's begin with, naturally, Best Picture, which is the most important one of all. And here, there are... I can't even say that I find all of the nominees to be really worthy. There's a couple of movies here that simply didn't do much for me. Everything Everywhere All at Once has a huge number of people who just cheer it and acclaim it and think it's wonderful. Again, it just didn't do anything for me. I'm a member of that very small club, but we're a determined club, so I'm not going to recommend it for anything. The Fabelmans from the fabled and legendary Steven Spielberg, I think a disappointment coming from him. Avatar, The Way of Water, again, it's just a bunch of stuff on the screen. I took the trouble to see it in 3D, and it's over 3 hours long, and I sat through every minute of it, and at the end I came out and I said, okay, so that was that. So I hope that none of them win the thing. A nominee which I think is really excellent is All Quiet on the Western Front. I don't hear much buzz about it, so I suspect that it has no chance at all, but I think it's a very, very good movie, and I think that it sort of ought to win. Other movies that are worthy in their way but didn't excite me at all, Women Talking is one of those. It's all very interesting and very serious, and it's about really important things, but it just didn't get to me. The Banshees of Inisherin is an interesting movie, but it just struck me that the psychology of it was so completely just nonsensical. There are huge gaps in the motivations of the characters, and that lost me after a while. I just didn't care about it anymore. Elvis is a great big splashy movie by Baz Luhrmann, who's an interesting director. But again, it just somehow, although I've been listening to Elvis Presley since my youth in the 1950s, it's a movie that just never really grabbed a hold of me. Triangle of Sadness, I just don't think is a very good movie. Top Gun Maverick is pure commercial fare, and it's fun and all that, but I can't recommend it. So that leaves Tar, which is a flawed movie, but it's a really interesting movie. It demands that you think about it while it's on the screen. It's a movie about high culture, and we don't get many movies like that. I think Todd Field took a lot of chances to make this movie and to get it out there, and for that reason alone, I would recommend it for Best Picture. Again, above all, it is a serious and thoughtful movie that really demands some active thought on the part of the moviegoer while you're watching it. And for that basis alone, I think it deserves commendation. So my vote would be for Tar. It actually, I think, has a chance of winning. So who knows? I might be right in that category. Turning then to the international feature film, as they used to call it, what used to be called best foreign film or best foreign language film. Here, most of the candidates are pretty worthy. The Quiet Girl, again, didn't do much for me. Close is a very nice movie, the movie from Belgium, but I didn't find it all that exciting. But EO, the movie by Jerzy Skolimowski from Poland, I think that Skolimowski's done better work than this in his career, but it's an interesting movie. It's kind of a spin-off from one of the greatest French movies ever made, a film called OSR Balthazar by Robert Bresson, and Jerzy is picking up on that and kind of doing his own spin on it. A movie about a donkey, that's an unusual thing right there, and it's a very good movie. I can't say that it's Skolimowski's best or maybe one of the very best movies of the year, but it's certainly one of the most interesting movies of the year. Here again, we have All Quiet on the Western Front. It's nominated in this category as well as Best Picture, and I would choose it for either one. So maybe that's my choice for international feature film, although I also much admire the Argentine entry, Argentina 1985, a political thriller, not all that thrilling, but it's a really, really well-made and very absorbing movie, and I had a good time watching it, and I think it hasn't gotten enough of an audience in America, so I certainly do hope that people will pay attention to it. I want to throw in right now a word about animated feature film. I think here, I am for Pinocchio, the Guillermo del Toro movie. It's just a really, really good animated film, so I got to throw in some words about that. I would totally support that for an award. It's not a great animation, but it's a really, really, really good animation. So let's talk about acting awards. As for the actress, as they are still using that old-fashioned term, actress, but as for the actress in a leading role, my choice does have to go to Cate Blanchett, the star of Tar. Again, it's a flawed movie, it's a flawed performance, but Cate Blanchett is a really a risk-taking actor who just does so many different kinds of things in so many different kinds of movies it's hard to keep track of. So I just have to, again, give her my vote on principle. And also, again, it's an ambitious performance in an ambitious movie. And again, flaws and all, I really think that Cate Blanchett deserves to win. Now, Andrea Riseborough, who is nominated for Two Leslie, talked recently about this to you. And I said on that occasion, it was just a week or two ago, I actually hope she wins as Best Actress. Well, now I've decided Cate Blanchett ought to win because I really think that she should. However, Andrea Riseborough's nomination has been very controversial. She's in a little independent movie, a low-budget movie, not a very ambitious movie, but a really good movie. And apparently she got the nomination because of a big, aggressive word-of-mouth campaign launched on her behalf by a number of much better known actresses. So her nomination has been controversial, but it is a really wonderful performance in a really good movie. So if Cate Blanchett doesn't get it, then I hope that Andrea Riseborough does get it. Again, very, very good stuff. Michelle Yeoh, again, Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's just a movie that didn't do much for me, and so I just really can't give any enthusiasm there. Michelle Williams in The Fabelmans is a wonderful performance, and she's a wonderful actor. However, The Fabelmans, again, for me, it just sort of lay there on the screen, so I can't really go for her either. As for Ana de Armas in Blonde is a great big, splashy, and really disappointing movie, and I can't say that Ana de Armas' performance did much for me either, so hey, I wish it were better, but it just sort of isn't. Turning to the supporting actress nominations, I'm just going to jump straight to Kerry Condon in The Banshees of Inisherin. Again, a movie I am not really enthusiastic about, but she's good in it, and actually tied with her, in my view. I would name Hong Chao for The Whale. The Whale is a movie which I just don't think it's a good movie. I just don't think so. But she gives a good supporting performance in it, so she'd be okay with me. None of the others could get my vote, I'm afraid. Wish they could, but they can't. Turning to the actor in a leading role. Again, some interesting contenders here. And I suppose that my choice to start right off with that would probably go to Bill Nighy in Living. He's a really, really fine actor. It's an interesting movie. It's a remake of a Japanese movie from many decades ago called Ikiro, directed by the great, legendary, phenomenal Akira Kurosawa. So it's an interesting movie. It's certainly not a great movie. Bill Nighy gives an interesting performance. It's certainly not a great performance, but it's probably my favorite of the movies, of the actors who are contender here. Austin Butler as Elvis Presley in the movie Elvis. You know, he just didn't seem like Elvis Presley to me. He just didn't. Again, I've been paying attention to Elvis Presley. Well, I was a huge admirer of his in my youth back in the 50s and 60s. And okay, my enthusiasm has faded over the years, and certainly his earlier work is much better than his later work. But still, Elvis Presley is a terrific figure. So when I go to see a movie all about Elvis Presley, I want to see somebody who in the leading role really seems to me to be like Elvis Presley. And I just can't say that Austin Butler quite pulled that off for me. That's that's why he does not get my vote. Brendan Fraser in The Whale. You know, again, I think it's just not a good movie. I think it fails on multiple counts. I've talked about that before on the show. But Brendan Fraser does give a risky and certainly a performance that's different from anything out there as this astoundingly overweight person with all of these medical problems and whatnot. So, you know, I don't like The Whale, and I hope it doesn't win much in the way of awards from the Oscars this year, but if one does go to The Whale, it would have to be either for Hong Chau as supporting actress or for Brendan Fraser, whose leading performance is pretty interesting. Colin Farrell is good in The Banshees of Inisherin, but again, the movie didn't do much for me. Paul Mescal is really good in Aftersun, which is a very interesting and offbeat art movie. But, you know, his performance was so, overshadowed by the lead actress's performance that I just can't say that I could really recommend him for the thing. So again, I would have to go for either Bill Nighy or Brendan Fraser would be okay with me too. And then turning to supporting actor, again, an interesting group of people. And here I really want to go for Brian Tyree Henry in Causeway. This is a somewhat overlooked movie, but he's a black actor and he gives a wonderful performance in this. It's a supporting performance, but he almost was the movie for me, even though there's a couple of other people who have larger roles than he does. I just think he was really, really fine. So for actor in a supporting role. Again, it's a movie that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, gotten a lot of buzz, but it's a good movie. And if anybody hasn't seen it, I totally recommend it. Causeway. And Brian Tyree Henry is my vote for supporting actor. Brendan Gleeson is good in The Banshees of Inisherin. But again, first of all, I think that he deserves the Best Actor nomination just as much as Colin Farrell does. Brendan Gleeson's role is at least as important in the movie. But it's a movie where the psychology of the film was just so badly put together that it puts the actors under a handicap. Judd Hirsch is good in The Fabelmans, but it's a tiny little role in a movie that doesn't really go anywhere. So, hey, I can't go for him. Barry Keoghan in The Banshees of Inisherin. Kei Huy Quan for Everywhere All at Once. Again, they just really did not get to me at all, and I can't say that I could particularly vote for either of them if I were voting in the Oscars this year. Other categories, there's all kinds of things that we could talk about. We just got a little bit of time left. So I'll say for Best Documentary Feature Film, I actually would vote for Navalny, and I think it has a really good chance of winning. This is a movie about the Russian dissident who is in prison at this very moment, has gone through all kinds of incredible sacrifices and all sorts of incredible horrors, and they are still going on for him. And this movie is it's not a riveting documentary. I can't say that, but it's a really important documentary about a really, really important subject, and I am all for it. So I hope that Navalny wins Best Documentary Feature Film. I have to mention Fire of Love, which a lot of people really love. I thought it was an interesting movie, but didn't quite make it for me. All the Beauty and the Bloodshed is another movie about really important stuff, among other things. It's about opiate addiction and all the horrible things that go on there, and about the liability of certain very, very wealthy people and corporations in fostering that horrible plague on our land. And the movie is very much about that. It's also about the artist Nan Goldin, and she's interesting. But, you know, the movie, I felt, All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, was just too pleased with itself. It seems to think that it's so wonderful, and it seems to think that it's so important. And this is in the movie itself. And that just put me off. So therefore, I can't really say that I'm for it. And I would go for Navalny. Definitely the documentary to win for Best Documentary Feature, or as we call them, the National Society of Film Critics, Best Nonfiction Film. That's the one that I would go for. And I think it's also the most politically urgent of them. Now I'll just say a final word about the Best Directing Award, which of course overlaps a bit with the Best Picture Award, because directors are largely responsible in most cases for the movies they make, if they're good directors. And here again, I have to go for Todd Field and Tar. This is his movie. and he made it. And it is a risky movie, and it is a movie about art, and it is the movie that demands that we think, and therefore, and also it's a well-directed movie, not a perfectly directed movie, but an ambitiously and interestingly directed movie. So that gets my vote for Best Director. Martin McDonagh for The Banshees of Inisherin, a much more modest film, not nearly so interesting. Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert for Everything Everywhere All at Once. They're good at generating noise and splashy stuff across the screen, but I can't say I found it a particularly well-directed movie. The Fablemans from a major director like Steven Spielberg, a disappointment. Triangle of Sadness from an interesting director like Ruben Östlund, again, a disappointment. So my vote for the Best Directing Oscar, and also really for Best Picture and Best Actress and Best maybe some other things, go to Todd Field and Tar. A good, flawed, but fascinating movie. If you haven't seen it, rush out and catch it as soon as you can. It'll be around for a while longer. I hope it does well in the Oscar race. So that is my awards-oriented story this week.
For which we thank you, as always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the Academy Award nominations.